How about those Blue Jays? They fought again last night and inevitably won 6-2 to tie up the World Series at 2. The World Series is going through Toronto. We now know for sure. It's really become a best of 3 now. But that was a fun game to watch. You know, thanks to Vladdy really opening it up. And then that 7th inning, we really took command. And all without George Springer, who is listed day-to-day. And Jays manager John Schneider gave an update. Actually, during the Fox broadcast of the game last night, he said this about Springer.
You know, he was able to swing a little bit this afternoon, kind of progressively feeling a little bit better as today goes on. So we'll see how the rest of this game goes. And if not today, hopefully tomorrow you should be good to go.
Maybe back tonight. That would be awesome. Of course, they're still in L.A., one game tonight. And then back to Rogers Center on Friday, Halloween for Game 6. And you can catch all the action right here on 980 CJME. And if you're thinking, oh, how am I going to juggle trick-or-treating, handing out at the door, or taking the kids Friday night and the Blue Jays game is on, remember, we cover the games. We got you wherever you're moving. You can listen to 980 CJME every World Series game starting at 6 o'clock. Senior reporter Lisa Schick joining me now with the very latest from the Misha Pavlik trial. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
So yesterday, I believe, day 8, right?
It's
day 7. Today is day 8. Pardon me. Yeah. How has this case been laid out so far, Lisa, at the trial of the man accused in Misha's death?
You know, it's for the first week, it was kind of here and there. There didn't seem to be, I mean, from my perspective anyway, a whole lot of, rhyme or reason to how they were calling their witnesses. And like, we have 47 witnesses. It could very well have been scheduling situation where they got people when they could. This week, I mean, yesterday, there was a little bit more what seemed like flow to it. In the morning, we heard from 3 people who were all in the same vehicle that last night, all kind of giving their own perspective on the same story. They weren't actually at that party at Kanukmaw Campground. They were driving around together at Regina Beach. And we've actually heard previous to this that the group that the accused was in who had gone to the Kanukmaw Campground party, they, after that happened, they went to Regina Beach and gathered and kind of hung out there for a while. So the 3 witnesses we heard from yesterday who were in this van, they talked about, what they heard when they ran into the accused down there. And all 3 of them said that they heard somebody say something about violence. 2 of them said that they heard somebody talking about stabbing someone. 1 of them said that the accused had said, you know, I stabbed someone, almost as though he was bragging about it.
And Lisa, we heard from Misha's ex-girlfriend too, didn't we?
Yeah, you know, we've been hearing other people talking about her for the past week, saying, you know, Misha's ex was there. She went and did this. We saw her doing this. And so yesterday, yeah, we finally heard directly from her what was happening that night. And she said, you know, they had been broken up for a few months. She had a new boyfriend. She went to that party, she said, thinking that Misha wasn't going to be there. She thought that he was, I think she said, away at a different beach. But when they got there, you know, she saw some friends of his. She got a little bit nervous. They got down to the bonfire and she saw him and she said, you know, she went up to him hoping to kind of talk him out of a fight, kind of trying to say, hey, we're all here for a good time. Don't start anything. And then there ended up being arguments. She ended up being kind of in the middle of one situation. And she said that she walked away for a little bit and then she turned around and she said she saw Misha on the ground being attacked by another group of guys. She said, I think about 6 guys were there. And she had identified, you know, the accused as one of the people who was attacking me. She said she ran over. She protected his head because he was bleeding. She was shouting at them to stop. And then the other fight started, and that got her attention because people were screaming about that. And she, pardon me, had seen Misha kind of stand up and stumble away. And then her attention was gotten by this other fight. And then when she turned around and she looked at Misha again, he was on the ground again, and she said she could tell he was not doing well.
And this case is almost 20 years old, too, as well. We've heard a lot of those who have been testifying having problems remembering the details some 20 years later. Did she seem to really be confident in what she remembered?
There were things that she was confident about. There were things that she wasn't. You know, everybody in this case, when they're being asked questions, they're like, I don't quite remember that, or I'm not sure about this. Things like, you know, who else was in the group with you that night, or who else, what were the conversations that you were having? Yeah. I mean, if I think 20 years ago, I'm sure there are a lot of things that I can't remember when it comes to those details. She was fairly sure about who was in that group, or at least that the accused was in that group that was attacking Misha. However, these are some things that the defense lawyer has kind of been seizing on when he's doing his cross-examination, you know, pointing out in his questions that, you know, you don't remember a lot of other things about this night, but you seem really sure about this. And he pointed out that the next day, actually, after this all happened, he played a video of a conversation that she'd had with the RCMP when she said, you know, she didn't know who the people were who were attacking Misha. She described one of them, but said, I don't know who they were. So he was kind of pointing that out, that, like, you know,
yeah,
you didn't know then, 20 years now, you're saying that you do know.
Senior reporter Lisa Schick. All right, so it takes us to day 8. How much longer do you think this trial is going, have they said?
You know, the trial is scheduled for 4 weeks. So we've got about 2.5 weeks left here to go. From what I understand, the Crown is looking at probably another week or so for their case. And then we'll hear from the defense. And then, you know, it's up to the jury.
All right. From the Misha Pavlik courtroom, that's Lisa Schick. Thank you, Lisa, for the update. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, just as expected, the Bank of Canada has cut the benchmark interest rate to 2.25%. Economists were predicting that might happen, and yes, indeed, it has. So if you're remortgaging or got some loans, some good news there, 2.25%. Vladdy got it going again for the Jays last night.
Hit well to deep left center, and this one will go. Junior lines one into the seats in left center, and the Blue Jays take the lead.
Man, it was a fun seventh inning, too, there, and 6-2 the final. We now know the World Series is returning to Toronto. Game 5 tonight, of course, at Dodger Stadium. Treyer Savage is going to take the mound a little after 6, and then Game 6 in Toronto Friday night. Halloween, I know you're thinking, how am I going to trick or treat with the kids and watch the Jays? Well, you can listen to it right here on 980 CJME, of course, as we're home to the World Series. But seriously, the Jays, just a blast to watch, right? You know, you think about it, they beat the Yankees, then the Mariners, pretty special season going here. They've been the underdogs in this series and undermanned without George Springer last night. Vladdy getting it started. Bieber pitching so well, just as he did against the Mariners in Game 3. They needed him to come out last night and do it, and he did just that. So Bieber was outstanding, and the Jays handled Ohtani, his pitching, and as a hitter, too. They shut down the best player in baseball. It's been an October to remember, that's for sure, for Jays fans, and it just continues as they'll return to Toronto. Well, it's gone from 2.5% to 2.25%. The Bank of Canada is shaving off 0.25% to the overnight rate. It is the second consecutive cut, and exactly what economists were predicting here this morning. So if you're set to renew a mortgage or your loans, too, they'll get a little better interest rate going right now, too. I have to admit, it was fun participating in this challenge we had here at 980 CJME, myself and Evan Bray, along with the folks across the hall at Z99 and Jack 94.5, all three radio stations here. We all took an opportunity to come up with our favorite walk-up song. If we were playing baseball, what would be our walk-up song? And we're asking you on all our social media, you can see it on the CJME Morning Show Facebook page, who has the best walk-up song? And we get a little silly doing it as well, too, but you can vote. And love to hear your reaction on this. So check out our socials, and you'll see what I'm talking about there. As for Jays fans, well, big night last night.
Line drive left field. Miles Straw puts it away.
And the Blue Jays have tied this series up after the gut-wrenching loss last night that might have just wiped the lesser team off. The Blue Jays bounce back and win it 6-2.
Yeah, actually, of course, was the Dodgers who opened up the scoring, but Vladdy got us going eventually.
Hit well to deep left center, and this one will go. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. lines one into the seats in left center, and the Blue Jays take the lead.
You probably heard it here live on 980 CJME. We are the voice of the World Series. Every game is carried at 6 o'clock, and our reporter, Daniel Retsch, he was out on the streets last night and wound up at Canadian Brewhouse. What a gig Daniel has. Go check out what the fans are thinking of a Blue Jays game. Sure, I'll go. He says it every time we ask.
I think that this was pivotal. I think that since our next game is going to be in L.A., that if we didn't take this win, it was going to be really hard to come back from after this. So this is a big one.
Blue Jays are tied 2-2, and I am absolutely stoked about it.
It's just been going back and forth these last four games, and hopefully we can bring it home in the next two.
I came from a Blue Jays town, so this is really big for all of us.
I feel like it'd be a big cultural heritage moment, you know, just being able to come together as a nation and celebrate the win.
Such a great experience. I thought it was going to be really tight at the end, but no, we could put it away.
I'm very happy it didn't go to 18 innings.
Yeah, so was I. I didn't make it all 18 innings the other night, but I got through the game last night here. Top of the seventh inning was a game changer, though, with Varsho and Clement drilling it there, and they're on base, and Ohtani is taking off the mound, and it was a fun baseball game to watch. And honestly, I don't know if you feel the same as I, but I feel like I've taken on an extra full-time job. I've never been a baseball fan. I am a bandwagon jumper. I'm all in with the Blue Jays. But I've watched every game, and it's just taken over my life. Outside of this job, I have another job, I feel, and that's watching baseball. And so tonight, we'll do it again. It's now the best of three from L.A., and the World Series returns to Toronto for Friday night. It's Halloween, and as I said, you can still enjoy your kids trick-or-treating, wandering from house to house with them, because we carry it live here on 980 CJME. So just pop in the earbuds, too. But tonight, of course, is Treyu Savage, the 22-year-old, is back on the mound. And just a little past six, now a best of three. Police chief, it's been taken care of now here. If you miss this, Farouk Sheikh, lasted only a couple of years. He's out of his job following a six-month investigation into misconduct allegations against him. And Mayor Chad Baczynski said the police board's job is to keep public trust in the police service strong and hold them to a high standard, and Sheikh's actions didn't reflect that.
We are making this decision in response to make sure that we maintain the public trust.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his
I bet if you have little ones in your house, they've been wearing their Halloween costumes already a number of times. As I get closer to Halloween, I always remember being a kid growing up in Rosemont, and my friends and my brother is all hyped up looking forward to the Super Bowl of candy.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween.
It really was fun to craft your own costume. It was like in an Olympic event, right? You had to have something cool to wear, and it had to be something kind of, well, you know, fast, because the goal was to move as fast as like the bionic man from door to door, and we would dart from house to house, our hearts just pounding, fueled by the sheer promise of sugar, running as fast as we can to the next house. Every doorbell held that potential for triumph or betrayal. You see a king-size candy bar in your pillowcase? Now that was pure glory. But a handful of candy corn? No! No!
There's a certain candy. There's a certain candy. We should never eat. We should never eat. It gives you diabetes because it is so stinking sweet. It's candy corn. Yes, candy corn can. Check the trick-or-treat bags and remove them if you can this Halloween.
All right, I admit that was a nice musical interlude. Anyhow, after filling our pillowcases with what we felt like a mountain of loot, we would then rush home, and then our living room would instantly transform itself into the Rosemont Candy Stock Exchange. Piles of candy on the carpet floor. Here is where we would kneel and let the great candy sort begin.
I got a chocolate bar.
I got a quarter.
I got a rock.
Piling up the heroes of the night, there's the full-size chocolate bars. They're the blue chips. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I'm not talking about the ones you see today that are the size of a quarter. I'm talking about the ones that were like the size of a teacup back in the day. Solid investment. And then the mid-tier market. M&M's, gummies, Skittles, dependable but not glamorous. And finally, the junk bonds of Halloween. The exiled pile of shame. All that suspicious toffee, random unbranded candies that tasted like sadness. And of course, the toothbrush. Seriously, Mrs. Britton, my old neighbor. Whoever hurt you? Anyhow, then came the negotiations.
Look at all my candy.
Okay, who wants to trade Milky Ways?
I like Milky Ways.
Okay, I want this.
These are my trading.
I got so many full-size.
Trades proposed, deals struck.
Deal or no deal?
Oh, sure, I'll take that. Full-size candy bar, Kit Kat, love those. Anyhow, the lessons we would learn in basic economics and occasionally betrayal from my own brothers. Stealing from my pile when I wasn't looking. All before bedtime. Simpler times, I know. But man, Halloween used to be such a high-stakes operation, and I kind of miss it. Now I sit at home handing out all the good stuff, and I'm still open to any trades when kids come to the door. Coffee crisp for a Kit Kat? Done. Oh yeah, to my own kids, spoiler alert. You're missing full-size Kit Kat bar? Always died a hero.
You're gonna come.